Let's go over to Revelation chapter 20. Now, look, I'm not going to try to do a lot in the scripture, so we're going to be moving through this, highlighting a few things, because I want to tie some things in and kind of continue in the thoughts of what God's been addressing among us. How many knows that the enemy, we could call him a number of things, the enemy, the man of sin, Satan, the devil, the dragon, all of it. How many knows he'll try again? What do you think I mean by that, Megan?
That he will come, he'll come again. He'll try to get you, he'll try to persuade you, seduce you, tell you something that's a lie.
Right. So sometimes when you think all is well, what could happen? He could come again. There's a parable on the unclean spirit, isn't there? What happens in that parable? An unclean spirit is cast out of a man, goes into dry places. He's there for a while, but then he has this desire. What's he want? He wants to go take a look at that temple, that body, right? He wants to see what has transpired since my expulsion. Since my casting out, what has taken place? And he goes and finds the house swept and garnished. And then he goes and gathers seven more, more wicked than himself, and comes back in. And what's Jesus say about the status of that man in the end? He's worse than he was in the beginning. So what's the thing we don't want to do? We don't want to look back. I love that answer, actually. I actually love that answer. What else? Speak up, Ann. Come on, preacher. Talk to me. You don't want to let nothing back in, right? You want to furnish the house. What does that? The Word of God. We have to let these teachings, these preachings, the doctrine, the apostolic truth of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ, we have to let it fill our house. Because if you don't do that, what's going to happen, guys? Could you get idle? Could you get slothful? What is needed in the house of God? In fact, what does the Word of God say comes to the house of God first? Judgment comes to the house of God. Is that a terror thing? Is that a nightmare thing, or is that a God thing, a good thing, a holy thing, a clean thing? What if God's word comes to you to make you clean? It might have to cast out a few spirits, huh? What do you guys think? So what does the scripture say concerning the Old Testament, the prophets specifically? Joel comes to mind. Do not take your ease in Zion. What happens when a man gets slothful? You guys remember Adam? Did he get slothful? Were there some things he needed to be doing? Are we saved in our doing? What do you think? Man, all of this has been taught. But you're going to find I'm going to move quickly over it, because there's been so much teaching. There's been so much word, so much truth. What am I telling you? You have been given all you need to stand fast, to stand on solid ground, to stand on a rock. Have you not? What did we talk about last week? Arming yourselves with what? The whole armor of God. I've referenced this dream a few times. I was in this dream and I saw the finger of God. It was as fire, and it wrote in the breastplate. It was interesting because I didn't know what to think about that at first in the dream, because I thought it would have just been written in the heart, but it was a breastplate. That's what it was. And I saw the fire, Tim Wright, faithful and true witness. He just burned it, engraved it right in the breastplate of that being. And I realized through a period of time that was a creative work God was doing. He was creating a being. And I knew in the dream that's what it's going to become. It's going to become a faithful and true witness. What is that breastplate? Righteousness? Was that a righteous word? Is that a righteous man? Is that how that man becomes righteous? See, we have some false expectations. Sometimes lies come in and try to do what? Deceive us, seduce us, pull us away, draw us out. Come on. That's what happened to those stars in the beginning. They were drug out. They were drawn out. They were seduced by a devil. And sometimes we get a little big in our britches, don't we? We think maybe we're further along than we actually are. And before you know it, a thought comes at you and you didn't even see it coming. And its intent is to deceive you and seduce you and to pull you out. We're going to talk a little bit about that here this morning, because he will try again. But I'm going to put some hope in prophecy to you this morning. We've already done that many times, but I'm going to water the heck out of it this morning, because I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care how many times the devil tries to do what he desires to do, God already has a plan. Have you guys read the end of the book yet? God wins. I know that's a cliche now, but God wins in the end. That's a truth beyond all truths, man. By the time God gets done with you, you're going to be exactly what God intended for you to be. How many's happy about that? So Revelation 20. Let me get here. Like I said, now I'm going to paraphrase. I'm going to move kind of quick. But we talk about this angel coming down with a great chain in his hand. He takes this serpent, this dragon, this Satan, and he binds him 1,000 years into a bottomless pit. Could you imagine the visual of this? Anybody ever witnessed it? Outside of your pastor? Anybody? Keith, you ever saw that? Dream it? Vision it? Nobody? So I guess you're going to have to take our word for it, huh? You're going to have to take John's word for it? You think we're lying to you? Or you think we've actually seen these things? Uh-huh. And let me tell you something. Power beyond anything you could probably comprehend at this point. God don't play. This angel had, he didn't, oh, come on, man, let's go, let's, no. It was nothing like that. These men of God have power with God, and Satan is of no consequence. When God sends them forth to handle these serpents, they get the job done. Does that make sense? Believe it or not, when we're speaking and preaching and teaching and doing all these things of God, we're actually dealing with serpents and spirits at times. Sometimes you don't even know it. You come to us in the week and go, my God, I got quickened. There's this thought that got changed in me. I know. Because we cast a spirit out of you. What? You cast a devil out of me? I had a devil in me? How many of you got a devil in you? Or do you even know yet? Well, you may not know. That's the interesting thing. What is an unclean spirit? Perfect. I love it. It's an unclean thought, isn't it? It's a lie. It's a distortion of the truth. It's a wrong perception of the truth. What did Paul talk about? A gospel that is true and then a gospel that was perverted. Is that where devils work, Tim? Is in that perverted gospel, which is not even a gospel, Paul said. There's only one gospel. But what's the devil try to do, Amanda? He tries to take that gospel of Jesus Christ, and what's he try to do to it? Pervert it, defile it, make it unclean. So you're chasing the wrong thing. So what do you need? You need the truth. You need God to divide some things. You need some judgment. You need God to bring in the word of the Lord that makes you clean. That works by faith. Remember, we told you, faith works by love. So do you think if God disciplines you, Tim, he's loving you or hating you? See, the devil hates you because he hates God. But God, your Father, loves you. So, there's thrones now, those that were sat upon them. Judgment was given to them. The souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, which was which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor received his mark. My God, man, this is powerful stuff. This is what Rick prophesied at the ordination service all those years ago. What was that, 2012, I think? 2013. You guys remember that? Who was there at that meeting? You remember when he prophesied this right here. This is how he ordained us. Speaking of elders. Keith, you remember, right? This is what he preached. That there were those that were given thrones and given judgment. He didn't get into all the aspects of this, and we're not either. But I'm going to tell you something. You have men of God among you now that have been given thrones, given judgment, and are in a first resurrection. There are those in them that have been beheaded, that did not take the mark. They are therefore part of that first resurrection. And in that first resurrection are sitting in a day of judgment. A 1,000-year reign with Christ. Yes, a day of judgment. And in that day, they have worked the works of God. Now, when you look at these things, have these things been prophesied to you? Have these things been taught you? Who remembers the day of rest that was taught? Who remembers? Have you entered it? Or have you been like Israel and been stubborn and not entered into the rest? Did you enter the rest and obey God? Or did you close your eyes? Did you close your ears? Did you harden your heart? You say, oh, that sounds a little familiar. I might have done some of that. Here's the takeaway. Don, do you have Israel in you? Or is that all you are? It's in you. So it'd be a part of you. So sometimes then when unbelief rises up in the heart, could it possibly be Israel? That which is of an unbelieving heart, is that where enemies work? Is unbelief, for just an example, does that possibly open doors to allow devils to work in your spirit, in your thought? You guys with me? What does a son of God, excuse me, what does a son of God in the day of rest do with that spirit? He brings it to judgment. He brings it forth in a resurrection. In the last day, that of life and that of death, Tim, is going to be raised up. I hear people even now talk to me about things that have arisen over the last several months. I've heard a lot of it as of late. Well, I'm having this dream. I'm having these visions. I'm having these thoughts. I've had all these things rise up in me. I don't know what to do with that. Yes, you do. Submit to the teaching. Submit to the anointing. There are those walking in a spirit of first resurrection and a day of rest, a day of judgment. Don't you understand? By faith, what are they desiring to baptize you into? To their rest. To their judgment. Allowing you to sit freely at a table so that you could actually be taught free of all those devils. You say, but don't I have to overcome those devils first? No, you need Jesus first. Let's don't get this thing out of order. The reason this took place right here is because God has the whole thing planned out. That's why before these guys could get a throne of judgment, a devil had to be addressed. God took care of that. One angel, sent of the Lord, puts that devil in a bottomless pit. Now they're in a 1,000-year reign of peace, of rest. I know some of you right now are thinking, my God, what would that be like to be at rest, to be at peace? To have my mind so free where I'm not waking every single day with all these thoughts coming after me. Well, it's real simple, guys. When's the last time you bowed the knee to the truth of Jesus Christ and said, Father, I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna be patient here. I'm not gonna chase these things. Remember that first angel in the first church of Ephesus? Did he have things within him that he could not bear? Were there false apostles there? Were there some Jews there? Was there the doctrine of the Nicolaitans? Were there some very serious things working in that being, in that church? Because that's what the Lord said it was. It's an angel, it's a church. What would be the difference? In my mind, there is no difference. The difference is simply in the teaching of it. Sure. Break it down, man. Teach the heck out of it. But when it all comes down to it, the angel is that church. He is the body. He is that temple. And when Jesus entered into that temple, he had some things to say, didn't he? Was he for that angel or against him? Is God for you or against you? God is for us. Greater is he that's within us than he that is in the world. Do you have a world in your heart? Is God bringing judgment to that world? Do we need a little faith around here so we can understand that judgment is a good thing? Do we need to believe more than ever before that God loves us and he's not trying to hurt us? Why do we think the preacher's trying to hurt us sometimes? You don't really understand what I'm going through. Really? Really? You think this man over here got to where he's at because he didn't go through what you're going through right now? Corey and I was having a great conversation. Corey, you think Dan's never went through the things you're going through right now? Oh, he's been through it. That's why he can counsel you in it, bro. That's why he can tell you, because he can look back and see exactly where you are, because he can remember where he was at and what God did for him and how God brought that man of sin to judgment, bro, and overcame him. So would it be a good thing for an impartation of the Holy Ghost to come from that man of God, from the seat of judgment he's been appointed to, being put into you so that you could follow every man in his own order into the same overcoming? God, believe it though, don't you? What rises up in the meantime? Men of sin that talk to you, try to tell you it's not true, it's not God, it's not going to happen. That was for them. That's not for you. I'm going to tell you right now, you would not be here if it wasn't for you. How about that? Oh, yeah, man, we smacked some devils around a little bit this morning. It's no big thing. There comes a time when you do not fear such things. That is true. Doesn't mean you don't need to walk humble. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you get cocky and God knows how to handle that. Let's keep reading. Again, we're not going to get into all this, but blessed and holy is that is he that hath part in that first resurrection, or such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's one of the things I saw, Keith, when you were in the holy temple of God as a priest of the Lord. The incense in hand for the prayers of the saints, delivering them to the very altar of God. But then you brought judgment, bro, to the wicked. See, God's very clear in this matter. He's after his saints who he loves, but he's also after those wicked lies that have been appointed unto judgment. How many remembers the word of God says, we, the saints of the living God, are not appointed unto wrath. How many of you believe you're appointed under wrath? Because only devils think like that. See, devils know. Did you know that? They know they have a short time. The devil knows he has a short time. The devil knows he's appointed unto wrath. The devil knows that hell was created for him and his angels. He knows that. What do you think a desperate devil's going to try to do to you? If he knows his time is short, Ann, what's he going to do? Is he going to bring everything he's got? You need some help then, don't you? Did God send it to you? Am I just spooking you guys out or what? Did he send you some help? So you're not alone. We're for you. Right, John? That's why he came back. But you came back and found out you had to learn a few things. That you couldn't do all this by yourself. Only God could help you. True, Marvin? You can't do it in your own vain imagination. You have to submit to the anointing. Let the Word of God create the right things in you. Does that make sense? So we're part of this day of rest. We're part of this thousand-year reign. But here's the kicker. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. That's a pretty big army. The devil's got a big one. Does that make sense? But then it only takes one dream where you're standing in the midst of all that, bro, and you see all those armies and the kings and the nations and everything that have gathered against the Lord. But then one comes to you and says, take a look up here. And then you see a real army. You see the Lord's army. And in one dream, you know what I saw the army covered in? Armor. Armor like you wouldn't believe, man. Translucent, full of light. Armor. And I knew when I saw them, nothing to fear. God's got this. Now, if there's anything I want you to take away from today, it's that God has this. Satan's going to try again. It's interesting, isn't it? They go into a 1,000-year reign and they're at peace for 1,000 years. But then Satan is loosed. One final attempt, one final battle. You know, it's no surprise to him that he goes back to doing exactly what he always did. As soon as he's loose from prison, what's he do? He goes to Gog and Magog to deceive the nations. That's who he is, bro. Why are we so surprised that the devil is who he is? Are you not here to be taught as sons and daughters of God what this thing is so that you can be free for him once and for all and never fall again? Didn't Peter say you never have to fall again? I'm asking, is this the kind of faith we're walking in? Is this the kind of faith we're coming to? Is this what's being created in us, guys? I say yes. I say yes and amen. It's not a conversation where I'm trying to figure it out. I just say, I believe that's the truth. So when we raise that shield of faith, are we covered? I want to present that shield of faith this morning as a covering, a protection. I'm going to make it a being, not just a tangible shield as some of us have thought. What if I told you your pastors, your apostles, your ministers, the angels of the Lord, the sons of God, they are your shield. They are your covering. So what's important here? Stay with them, man. You say, well, I don't want to tell you guys everything because, you know, I'm really ashamed. Why would you be ashamed? You think we're going to judge you after everything we've been through? You want to talk about shame? I know what shame is. You think I'm going to shame you because you come to me with some weakness or some repentant thought because of some sin, some wickedness in you, and you think we're going to judge that in an unclean manner? No, we're going to baptize you. If you're willing to repent, we will baptize you into our body so we can teach you the works of God. And then we'll talk to you about faith toward God. See how those principles work? It's real easy. We'll take you all the way to a new resurrection. I'm saying we as in God. Does that make sense? So he goes and he gathers Gog, the prince of Magog. gather them together to battle. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. Man, they were planning on doing a number, weren't they? What's the rest of the story, though? They went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. They're already there. By this point in the story, God's already addressed the beast. Remember Revelation 13? There's two beasts. One that came up out of the sea, one that came up out of the land. The one that came up out of the land had power to make miracles happen in the sight of the people, even call down fire from heaven to deceive the people. Remember Simon the sorcerer? What'd he do? But before that, what'd he do in the city of Samaria? Did he make himself a great one in the eyes of the people? Watch. Be very careful of that thought right there. Who wants to be great in here? Ain't nobody going to answer that question with me right now. They're like, oh, no, I'm not falling for that one. Oh, you already did. I could tell you who did it. You want to know? Do you want to know if you did it? Well, I'll tell you right now, you should be saying yes and amen. Tell me so I can be free. We don't quite work like that, though, do we? What are you afraid of? You afraid God's going to hurt you? Afraid Dan over here is going to hurt you? Afraid Keith's going to hurt you? Don't tell me that thought doesn't work sometimes. That's why we get afraid to sit at a table across from them. Well, I'm a little nervous here to tell everything going on in my thoughts right now. I'm not sure I'm going to tell all my dreams. You know how many people hide their dreams? Is that why God has to work the Spirit and bring us into that house, into that temple, so we can actually see what's going on? You think you're hiding anything? You're not hiding anything. But most of the time, 99.9% of the time, you never even know we were there. You never even know because you never hear from us on it. Why? Why? Come on, deacons, you guys give me some answers here. Why?
Well, because you love us, and I think there's a timing for things too.
True. Working it in the Spirit, aren't we, Brad? Bringing judgment to it? What if I tell you we've worked the Spirit and brought judgment to some things and even cast some devils out, put them in a binding? And you never even knew. We put it in prophecy so that it could come to pass. And then in this life, we teach it to you and bring you to it to fulfill the prophecy. Man, that's good. And sometimes we're like, woe is me. When is this going to happen? When am I going to be changed? Why is God not doing this for me? You know how many times God has tried to do it for you, has talked to you and spoken to you in the midst of the midnight hour, but you would not because you're lost. Those spirits work on your lust. Those enemies are there to seduce you, and they're good at it. Sometimes you don't even know what the spirit that is talking to you is, his intent. You don't know what it's there to do, but that spirit does. That spirit is there to work evil, to draw you away. What happens if he gets you to leave the table? What happens if he takes you out of the temple of the Lord? You guys remember the dream? I was in a dream one night. This was the last time Rick was here. I think it was around Christmas time because I remember all the Christmas stuff up here, and Rick came to the church for the last time and took a whole bunch of pictures. Remember that, Ann? Don and I stayed at a hotel up here because I don't even remember what was going on. Maybe we were at a conference. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. But we stayed for some reason. We had something going on. Don needed to be here. We stayed at a hotel. And I'm in this dream, man, in the temple of the Lord. I'm talking celestial right here. And all of a sudden, out in the darkness, here comes this dragon, biggest thing I had ever seen. And he is railing accusations, trying to draw me out. You know what I did? I kept my mind on God. I kept doing the duties of the Lord, and I would not give him attention. I blew him off, and I stayed in God. You know who took care of him? God did. Why are we trying to serve God, but allowing these spirits to draw us out? Why are we doing that? That dream's happened multiple times in different levels. When you see it in the earth, you're a high priest in the temple. And they're out there with staves and stones and everything else ready to kill you. The council of the Pharisees has rioted the people. And they're ready to kill you, Tim. Are we ready for that? We've got men that have experienced those things. They have been beheaded. They have members of their body that have been beheaded and many other things as part of that, who was made worthy to partake of that first resurrection. Those that were beheaded, that's part of the Son. That's part of them. That's who they are. That's members of their body. The first fruits. Remember that feast day? It's not just for you, Tim. It's for everything that is of you. Everything that is in you that is of God. We got to protect this, man. We got to stand our ground. It's time to be firm. Stand your ground. Not let these works of seduction pull us away. Pull us out. Sometimes we're sitting at that table, and we hear these voices, and we just, man, the temptation, my God. The Lord is there trying to teach us, but that temptation, just look over. I just want to see what it is. No, you don't. You don't need to. What do you need? Stay on the Lord. Stay at the table. Stay at the Word of God. You say, but Gary, you guys preach and teach all the time that we can cast out devils. What is it? Mark 16, right? These signs shall follow them that believe. They'll cast out devils, speak with new tongues. All of these wonderful things. We so bad sometimes want to get to that. But what we're missing is that is a work in the believer. Thank you guys talked about that Wednesday night. Didn't you, Micah, bring it up a little bit about the believer? You put it in a body, bro. That was awesome. See, a believer is one that can cast out devils. You say, wow, wait, hold on. I thought a believer was a low, 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 low thing. Well, you tell me. A believer that can cast out devils, speak in new tongues, lay hands on the sick and heal them, drink any deadly thing and it shall not hurt them. That's a low thing. Come on, guys. Let's wake up here. Let's wake up and get fervent with some of these things we're handling. I know. It's straight preaching. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's straight preaching because of the truth that we got some spirits working behind the scenes that want to come after those that belong to God and thereby belong to us. And we're here as guardians to protect them, to protect you. What happens in a war, in a battle, if you've got a child and you got a warrior? What do you think the warrior's going to do? Is he going to put the child out front to protect him? Or is he going to put the child behind him and become the guardian, become the protector? Is that what's going to happen? Ain't nothing happening to that child, I'm telling you that right now. We're going to not just pull the shield of faith, Tim, but what else are we going to do? We're going to bring out the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? It's the word of truth, Dave. Have you tried to put the word of truth to one of those spirits this week? When they rise up and talk to you, did you pull the sword? I'm not talking about striving with them. I'm talking about, did you put the word of the Spirit to them? It is written. I love it. It is written. So what am I saying? Do we have to be seduced? Is it set in stone? Because you already fell. How many times you got to fall? You guys won't fall again? And again? And again? Oh, I know, you Bible scholars. Well, a righteous man falls 7 times. I know. You don't even know what that means. But you'll quote it to me. Well, how do you know? I'm just not in my first time. Oh, so you want to justify your lust for sin. You just love being in sin. So you're trying to tell me, it's okay if I don't make it this life, Gary, I'll make it in another one. It's okay. No, it's not. It's not okay. You know what is okay? Submit to the anointing. Give yourself to God. Keep your mind on the Lord. Don't open doors. Don't flirt with devils. Don't be like that young man in Proverbs 7 that didn't even know what hit him till a dart strikes him in the heart and her steps led him down to hell and he had no idea where he was going. She seduced the heck out of him because he was young. And if I could add something that's not in the scripture, young and dumb. You ever been young and dumb? Yeah, me too. All of these things that are happening right now, guys, this is the end of where God is taking this enemy. And for some, this is a reality now. This is not something in prophecy. It is in prophecy, but it's something that has already come to pass. Then he said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. God's opened some books, man. Which book are you in? Megan, which book are you in? You in the book of life? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Okay. What about you, Tim? Book of Life. Who else? Who believes this morning that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Try to tell me that Satan can take that name out of that book. You're all shaking. Dan, they're all shaking their heads. No. Walk in that. Let that be your faith. You hear me, Christy? That's your faith. Your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, I know that's true about you. Corey, you don't know it, but our angels were talking this morning, bro, in that conversation. I went right into it, bro. Your angel's ready to go. It's got to be a little patient. That's all. Just a little patient. Why? Because there's a rest of God coming. You're not going to always battle like you're battling right now, bro. What are flies doing up here? That's gross. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Also, when you're dealing with the book
of life. Use your mic, bro. Please.
When you're dealing with the book of life.
Mm-hmm.
Your name was written from the beginning.
Yes. Y'all hearing this?
Therefore, if your name is there, God already had it ordered out. You're just finding that out right now. So it's always been there. If he wrote it, it's been written from eternity.
Now I'm going to tell y'all, man, that right there should seal the deal for you. Did you hear it? Who didn't hear what Dan just said? Okay. Are you more worried you might get called on? Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the very beginning. That's why John said this is not a new commandment. This is an old commandment which you heard from the beginning. You say, but one of the churches says I'll get a brand new name written in a beautiful white stone. We talk about these things, but we really don't grasp them, do we? What if I told you God knows that name because he appointed it, just like Dan said, from that beginning. He's known you ever since he created you. My God, man, that's awesome. That was powerful. I done forgot where I was at. The sea gave up the dead. 12? The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. What did Paul say the last enemy is? We just saw the complete, finished overcoming of death. It's cast in hell forever. Eternity for death. My God, man. But you, as the sons of God, are an eternity of God. Joy and peace and love and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Are we really believing this stuff, guys? Because I'm going to tell you, man, when you see it, you will never unsee it. The city of God is that beautiful. It's that amazing. You can't overstate it. You could probably, in the carnal mind, elaborate on it and overstate some things. But in God, you wouldn't overstate it. In fact, the carnal mind can't even really comprehend the things that God has prepared for us. Why? Because we did something worthy, we're owed, and? Or is it because it's what Dan just said? We were appointed. It was a promise given to us by our Father. And you say, well, why did we ever have to leave? You ever ask that question, Amanda? Then why did I ever leave? Why did I have to leave? Why am I here? Anybody ever ask that question? Why do I struggle? Why am I going through what I'm going through? What if I told you you made that choice? One way or the other. Remember the prodigal son? Did he want to leave? Was there a part of you that wanted to go out? Uh-huh. I was in a man one time, and he prophesied to his sons, and there were so many of them, you can't count them. And he told them, don't do it. Don't go out. But there were some of those sons that wanted to go out then. There were some that didn't. You know that? There were some that never fell. There were some that remained and stayed with the Father. But there were some, oh boy, lust had already got them. They had already been enticed by another entity. I look over in this man and there's another being there and lanterns are just, man, this guy's like 10 feet tall. These lanterns are just going up and down. Beautiful lamps and fires of God just going up and down, up and down. And he's just watching it all. And I knew right then that the sons of this man, they were going to go out and they were going to leave that heavenly place. And they were not supposed to. It wasn't the will of God for them to do so. But they did go out. They left their first estate. And it's interesting because Jude prophesied that there were angels in the beginning that left their first habitation, their first estate, and they were deceived or seduced by men of old, ordained unto this condemnation. See, there are things we're dealing with here behind the scenes, guys, that we don't always know, but I'll tell you, there are men of God that do know. I'm bidding you, I'm provoking you to trust that. How long have I been preaching here? 15 minutes? Okay, so we got another 45 at least. I just want to wrap this up here. Where was I at? Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life. There you go. I mean, that's as clear gets. There's those that were written in the book of life from the beginning, and there were those that were not found in the book of life. So what part of you, Don, I do ask, what part of you is written in that book of life and what part of you is not? These are things that might have to get taught to you, huh? We're not going to teach them today. What happens after this? God starts a brand new day. A whole brand new day. You say, wait, I thought there was only 7 days. Only 1 week in God? No, no, no. There's eternities in God, man. The new heaven and the new earth. That's immediately what it goes into, doesn't it, Tim? It leaves off with God bringing forth a final victory. What'd I tell you? The devil will try again, but then God finishes it. There comes a time, this is prophecy for literally 99.99% of everybody in this building, but there comes a time when God says, that is enough. It's over. You had your time. You had your chance. You did your best. But my son made it. My daughter made it. We made it. Amen? Amen. We stood our ground. We stood the test. We learned what we needed to learn, Corey. And we came out of it clean, bro. Robes of righteousness, clean and pure. A holy bride prepared for her husband. My God, man. You guys excited? A new heaven and a new earth. No more curse, no more death, no more sorrow, no more tears, and no more. Isn't it going to be awesome? One day you get to enter back into those eternal realms and you're there, one with your husband, walking on the streets of gold. Won't be the same particular man that you knew here. Like Rick, you say, he's much better looking now. Much better. I was actually surprised how good looking that guy is. He would laugh at that probably. Oh my goodness. Any questions? It is hotter than Hades in here, man. James. Bro, everything is a trying of faith, but there are some differences here when those elders of God are appointed thrones of judgment. They're now working that faith, bro, in that judgment, working prophecy. They're there to learn and to create and do the works of God. So to say their faith is tried, in that sense, it's not going to be the same as what maybe Peter dealt with. When Satan is roaring about and trying the faith of those that are trying to live for God, it becomes a very different thing for these particular sons of God, because they are now sitting in a seat of judgment, meaning they're not just being tempted and having their faith tried. They're actually working and doing the works of God in faith, working a tremendous sin. Does that make sense? In other words, that Satan is no longer in them. They're working even as apostles in the earth. That Satan is no longer in them, but they're still having to contend with it, aren't they, Tim?
Yes.
Why are they having to contend with it? Because it's still without. And when you're in a sin to that which is out, you're going to deal with some devils. Does that make sense? So what am I really asking you? Does there come a time when your faith is sure? That's what I'm after. Does that make sense? In other words, your faith's not being tested. Your faith is established. It's sure. It's a more sure word of prophecy and faith. Does that make sense? Did that answer the question? That's a journey, though. I mean, honestly, that's a journey. That could probably be answered more than one way, but that's my answer on it for right now.
I'd say too, Gary, the thing about, I mean, when Satan's loose, he gathers the nations and fire comes down and burns him. It's over, man.
It's over.
Judgment has come.
It's come. And those elders in that day with God have been working that judgment to bring that forth.
And so the question is not correct in this regard. It's you're in the first resurrection.
There you go. There you go. So your faith's not being tempted or tried or tested in that sense.
Correct.
All that's
been done.
It's been done. There you go.
That's why you were beheaded.
There you go. Perfect. Love it.
And raised and.
We got one word. God bless those mics. I want to cast the devil out of them mics, Tim.
Next week.
We're done. We're casting these mics out.
We got a plan.
Imagine all those thoughts that brought accusation that you didn't. You bore it, man. Did you catch what Dan said there? Does that make sense, James? When you're sitting in that seat, bro, you're in a first resurrection. You're not being tempted and tried like that anymore, bro. That's what that day is for. That day of rest, let's think about it like that too. You're resting. You're not in temptation and trial and tribulation. You're in rest, bro. Does that make sense? That's potent. Powerful, good God, man. That's amazing. Lawrence.
I don't need a microphone loud
enough. Okay, well, you and I have that in common then.
I know. Brings back the story of Elijah. When he was at the battle, he said, Lord, open his eyes and let him see the army that I see behind me.
Mm-hmm. It's very similar in that regard. Yeah. Chariots of fire, all kinds of angelic hosts, right? Oh, it's a good number, all right. There, when Paul says there's more for us, trust me. When the scripture says they were as the sand of the seashore, that's a lot. Have you ever been to the ocean? That's just a really crude parable, but it's a lot of sand pebbles, right? Imagine that many enemies. And then looking up and seeing 2 to 3 times that in God. It's innumerable, actually. You just can't see it all. At least maybe not in that moment. And there's nothing to worry about. Does that make sense? There is more for us, guys. God's got this. I'm telling you right now. If you're at this point still struggling in your mind about whether you're here, whether you're not here, whether you're staying, whether you're not staying, whether you're doing the right thing, whether you're following the right thing, listen to me. That's the devil talking to you. You need to let the word of God rise up and squash that thing. Because you're exactly in the right place. And if you stay part of us, what will we do for you in Jesus? We will baptize you into that first resurrection. That's what I'm telling you. And the second death has no power over that first resurrection, folks. You with me? I know you don't understand all those things, but it's still being said because it is true. Any final questions? I'm done. I've been done. Okay. We'll catch you guys later.